Jeffrey, you've once said that to be a writer was the best thing a person can be, for maximum alertness to life, almost a holy thing. Do you still feel that way?
Wow. I'm always amazed when these quotes from the past are brought back, and I wonder in what state of inebriation I uttered them.
It was good wine, obviously.
I didn't know that I was holy, or that writers were holy. Most of the ones I know do not seem that holy.
Maybe not the writer, the experience.
The experience. Well, at its best, I think, as with anything that's hard to do that you spend years working at, there are flashes of something that might feel like very momentary enlightenment or contentment or tranquility or peace. Mm-hmm. But in general, the experience of writing, there's no similarity to anything like that. I think it keeps you alert to the world and noticing things. Henry James said that, you know, Saul Bellow said that novelists had to be great noticers, and Henry James said that novelists should strive to be someone on whom nothing is lost. So those were always directives that I took to heart, try to pay attention to what's going on, be as alive in the moment and present as you can be to observe so that you'd be able to write about it. So I think that's probably what I was trying to get at with rather high language.
You know, as I was poking around in previous interviews and other events that you had done online, I was reading different things. One said that you were inspired by a portrait of the artist as a young man in high school, and that's what got you writing. But I saw different answers. What got you going as a writer? How did that journey begin?
Well, it's true that reading the portrait of the artist as a young man was the moment that I coalesced my vague ambitions to be a writer. You know, you read that book and you identify with its protagonist, Stephen Dedalus, and he thinks about going into the priesthood. He rejects the priesthood and takes up the role of a writer in actually a very religious way. So maybe that's why I was talking about holiness so many years later. But if you're young and you read that and you're impressionable, you can think of the writer's calling as a kind of vocation. And I was such a person. I was impressionable at about 16 years old when I read that book. And I had always liked to write, enjoyed it, and had a, you know, facility for it as compared to other subjects. So I gravitated toward study of literature and writing. And I pointed to that book as a very big influence on my direction in my life. I haven't read it in years and years, so I don't know what I would think about it now. But
oh, I'm sure it would be different. I think books change change. Yeah,
I think so. I agree.
And I've always thought that place has an effect on who we are and how we relate to the world and our perspective. You've got obviously strong ties to Detroit. You're a native of the Detroit area. But you've also lived in Berlin. Now you're in New Jersey. You've volunteered with Mother Teresa in Calcutta, which is an interesting thing. How has place affected who you are and how you see the world and how you write?
I really only have one place to which I'm attached and where I write from, and that is Detroit. For whatever reason, I guess because I grew up there and all the memories I have are still sharp and clear. When I write about Detroit, I immediately feel placed in the narrative I'm writing about. I was just writing yesterday something new and remembering going to Greektown in seventh or eighth grade. And it's just available to me, those places and the memories. So I feel that very strongly. I have a strong attachment to Berlin for some reason. I lived there 5 years, which is a fair amount of time, but that city got into me, and I have similar feelings about it when I write about it or think about it. Hmm. But curiously, I have a more tangential relationship to, maybe it's not curious at all, to New Jersey. I've said a few things in New Jersey, but it's not that significant to me. I lived in San Francisco 5 years, and it sometimes comes up in my writing, but I don't feel that I understood what was going on there. I just understand Detroit, the people that live there, its history. I don't understand everything about it, of course, because I haven't lived there for years. But I have the pieces of the puzzle that I can put together when I think about Detroit. Other places baffle me. I just don't know how they're composed, who lives there, and what they're thinking. So I'm on safer ground if I write about Detroit.
Now, it was back in 1982 that you made your way to Calcutta to volunteer with Mother Teresa. That's quite something to have on your resume, too. Was that a faith journey for you, or what drove you to do that, and how did that change you?
Well, a lot of people volunteered there over the years. You might be surprised by how many people have that on their resume. Hmm. I wasn't there very long. I wasn't brought up religiously. I was baptized Greek Orthodox and then left to go my own way. But in college, I became interested in the subject of religion and took a lot of religious studies courses. And at a certain point, wanted to experience religious life as much as possible, not just in books, but in actual life or in actions. Mm-hmm. And I was taking a trip around the world, a backpacking trip around the world in the middle of college with a friend of mine. And I met some people who had volunteered with Mother Teresa, and they told me about it. And it seemed like an interesting thing to do. And I wanted to see if I was capable of performing charity work, and would I be capable of living a selfless life of charity. And I dipped into it to see, and I realized rather quickly that I was more suited to sitting in a room writing about a life like that than actually doing it every day for the rest of my life. So it was an interesting experience, but I think it threw a certain amount of cold water on my idea that I might become a monastic or priestly person.
So we're back to writing as a holy experience. That's the whole experience
for
you.
Some kind of experience.
Yeah. So looking at the body of work that you've got, and you've got a long list of prizes. Of course, Pulitzer at the top there for Middlesex, The Virgin Suicides, The Marriage Plot, and now Fresh Complaint, a story collection. You know, when I read this story collection, though, I don't know that I see a theme, and I think you've said that yourself, that there isn't really an overall theme about it. How do you describe this story collection?
Well, the stories have been written over many years. It contains my first published story, Capricious Gardens, and this title story, Fresh Complaint, which is the most recent thing that I've written. And because of the gap in time and the sporadic nature of when the stories were composed, I was never conscious of a theme or of putting together a book of short stories that were harmonious. But I would take breaks in novels and write a story. And there is a sort of progression in the book of a young man's experience to a middle-aged man's experience, and a certain amount of hopes being dimmed or thwarted or reconsidered. I think Fresh Complaint is a story about a middle-aged man making huge mistakes and going through difficulties and coming out chastened, but a little bit wiser. Some of the stories are in a more comedic vein, show a middle-aged man running into real trouble and not getting out of the trouble. So there is a kind of examination of what it means to be an American in our time, chase the American dream, and have that dream thwarted. I see that as the major theme of the book, is the preoccupation with making money and then losing it, trying to get money and getting in trouble because of the desire for money. An examination of what does the country mean? Why was this country founded? A lot of discussion about de Tocqueville's descriptions of America in its infancy and how has the country developed. So I see the stories, disparate as they are and written over different times, coalescing around ideas like that.
Baister was probably the one that jumped out at me as one of the most unusual.
Right. That was... That doesn't really fall into, well, I don't know. I don't really
see what I mean?
The American dream in its own way. No, I know that's
the American dream, perhaps, to have a child. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
although not by a turkey baster.
No. Well, that was a very unusual thing. Like, that story was first written in 1995. Mm. And when it came out, that sort of thing was not talked about very much. So it had a real surprise factor. And now I don't know if it still does. I mean, they made a movie out of that story, and other movies have taken up that conceit. So it's a little bit different than it was. But that story was written in a real comedic spirit. It's slightly unusual. There are a few stories in the book that are highly comic, and some are more somber.
How has that experience for you as a writer to view your story, your novel, as something on a screen? Is that disappointing? Is it alarming? Is it gratifying?
I think elements of all of those things. I've had two different experiences when The Virgin Suicides was made into a film by Sofia Coppola. She remained very true to the spirit of the book and to the plot of the book. And, you know, things will always change a great deal once a book is a film. They're completely different media. And you can't imagine a strict translation. You're just hoping that an adaptation will not violate the principles of the book, but will be its own work, its separate work, that it works as a movie. It doesn't have to be faithful to the book as long as it works as a movie and tells essentially the same story. With Baster, because it's just a short story, it's harder to make an entire movie out of a short story. So my story comprises about the first third of the movie, The Switch, that was made of it. And that part is somewhat faithful to it. And then the second two acts of the movie are invented. They're things that didn't happen in my story that happened in the movie. So it's not really the same thing at all.
What inspires you to turn an idea into a story or into a novel? What grabs you usually? Is it the same thing, or does it differ every time?
I think it differs. A lot of times it's a story someone tells me about his or her life. Fresh Complaint was based on a legal case someone told me about. So sometimes I hear a story, it sounds like a good story, and I wonder if I can write it, or if I come up with characters to inhabit that story. Sometimes the narrative is more autobiographical. I think the story Timeshare in the collection is one of the more autobiographical stories, where I drew on memories of my father and his business triumphs and difficulties. So it depends. I have always been something of a shapeshifter as a writer, moving from different styles, different ways of writing, and going along with that, different inspirations for the things I write.
You've said that it took you 2 years to write the first page of Middlesex. Is it the beginning of a work that is the biggest struggle for you, the literary angst that you go through, that blank page, or is writing a difficult thing that you love throughout?
I was sort of joking when I said it took 2 years to write the first page. Well, sometimes it takes longer. But what I meant was that I tried different things, and I had to do a lot of research, and I had to rethink the book and throw out different versions of it until finally I got a first page that was going to be the first page of the book, and that told me what the book had to be and how to write it. So it did take, you know, at least 2 years to get to the point where I knew what I was doing with Middlesex, and then wrote that first page. Sometimes you just write the first page and it sits around for 4 or 5 years calling to you, and you know that it is a story that you could write, but you can't figure out how to lengthen it and how to move on from it. You hit snags in different ways, either at the beginning or after about 70 or 80 pages, the book seems to run out of steam, or you don't know where to go. So there's always perils in your path.
So what do you think about that age-old argument debate? Mm-hmm. Is the novel dead? The ideas of plot and storyline and timelines. Is there a new novel that hasn't been written yet, or are we just writing the same novel each in our own way?
It's always a new novel to be written, and the new novels that are written, the more you look at them, always bear stronger resemblance to past novels than it first appears. In the last few years, there's been a lot of excitement about Carl Ove Knausgaard's super autobiographical fiction, the Norwegian novelist who wrote My Struggle. Mm-hmm. And he writes about his life, doesn't change the names, doesn't change the facts, tries to hew as closely to his own experience as he can, and leaves a lot of destruction in his wake as he does so. That's, you know, that seemed to be a new move, and I was very engrossed by those books. But there are many precedents for extreme autobiographical writing before that, and it goes back hundreds of years. But closer to our time, Edmund White did a lot of what he calls autofiction, where he wrote just about his life. So things have a newness to them, but nothing comes out of nothing. And I think most writers working in the tradition, even as they try to break out of it. Plot comes in and out of fashion. Generally, in my opinion, it's the charm of the writing that matters. I've been reading a lot of Javier Marías, the Spanish novelist, and he has a kind of plot to his novels. There's usually a mystery, perhaps a murder or something even grisly in the background, but mainly he's philosophical and amusing and very intelligent. And you read it because of how nice it is to be in his company, the company of the narrator. And I think that's, for me, what brings me into books more than finding out what happened. I don't like plotless books either. I like a narrative, and I like to be engrossed by what's going on and for it to have some significance. But I don't constantly need to have a cliffhanger every three pages to be interested if the writing's good.
I understand you're at work on a new novel. Anything you can tell us about it, or you'd rather not?
No, it's too new, and I changed my mind about it too much. I did mention that there's a little piece in Greektown. Maybe that will stay there. Maybe mm-hmm. it won't be there by the time I publish it. That's about all I can say at the moment.
We're leading up to an event. You're going to be here in Kalamazoo at an event sponsored by BookBug at Dalton Theater in Kalamazoo College. What can people expect when they go to this event?
I assume that I will read a little bit, and I definitely will take questions. I find that on book tour, people want to get something they can't get merely by reading the book. It's always not as good, I think, to see an author and listen to an author as to read an author. But when people come out, they want to see something spontaneous. So I try to include in any appearance a measure of question and answer and hopefully liveliness and interchange, not just me spouting forth. So it'll probably be a mixture.
What is most satisfying to you in terms of response from your reader? Do you think about the reader when you write, or only after you're finished?
Trying not to bore the reader, trying to imagine the reader being pulled in and seized by the book and kept in its hold. So I'm thinking about that. I'm not thinking about an individual reader, what sort of reaction a reader might have to the material. It's mainly the narrative pull that I think about. And then what's gratifying, it comes in all different ways when you get emails from people. Yeah, I think the most gratifying thing is someone who isn't like you at all writes to you to tell you that you've connected with them. I had an email yesterday, someone with mental illness who read The Marriage Plot and then looked up my biography thinking that I must have suffered from bipolar disorder, and saw that I didn't, and was impressed that I could describe her life, having not lived her life. So that's the kind of thing I think that's most gratifying for a writer. That's what you're trying to do, get into other people's experience and express that experience, even though you don't share it. So I think that's the kind of email that I like to get.
Well, thank you for talking with us today, and we look forward to hearing you on October 7th.
Okay, I'm looking forward to being back in the home state.